This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to Market Talk. This week we'll be touching on the latest moves from the European Central Bank, asking what the rally in global bonds is telling us, updating you on news of the US-China trade deal, and examining where we are with COVID caseloads. Asking the questions is me, Francis Watson, and answering them in his own Olympian style is Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, hello to you.
Hi, Francis. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Now, last week we had the meeting of the European Central Bank. Seems as though they're happy to keep on with the current levels of bond buying.
Yeah, they didn't do very much, actually. There was, they said that there is a strategy review, and they said that they would come out with some interesting developments. But in actual fact, they've just promised to keep interest rates low until, well, I guess, they see the whites of the eyes of inflation, you know, until the actual inflation really becomes, to target or above target. But frankly, they haven't been able to do that over the last, you know, X number of years. So I don't see why just keeping interest rates low is going to change anything. So, you know, our view before was that, you know, shrug your shoulders about this. And I think that's really what happened. But, you know, they're going to keep rates low, and they're going to keep liquidity conditions really loose for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and it's keeping those liquidity conditions so loose, isn't it? Really, I guess that's prompted that bond rally that has wrong-footed some of the bears. But you know, Bund yields down in further negative territory. U.S. Treasuries back to what, 1.2%?
Yeah, it's interesting that the nominal rates, as you say, are very low, but even more interesting is real rates are super low. So, and we're going to talk about the Fed, I'm sure, later on, which is happening this week. But the US Treasury real yield is at the lowest that we've seen through this entire cycle. So, yeah, in terms of the real borrowing cost, it is super easy. And as you say, that's what central banks want.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's just turn from central banks to China and some quite aggressive words coming out of these Chinese-US talks at the weekend, Ben.
There was, the Chinese policymakers saying that the relationship is at a stalemate. I mean, that's not particularly positive, is it? Both sides are still, as you say, quite aggressive. You know, we also saw Janet Yellen last week talk about the trade deal that Trump put in place. She's not a big fan of that, so maybe they'll be looking to renegotiate the trade deal going forward. But you know, it started not a great situation in terms of the relationship between the two powers. Maybe it's just fighting talk, and ultimately that's just the negotiating stance, and we'll get some things moving in a more positive light. And actually, you know, without Donald Trump heading these negotiations, you've got to hope that there is a chance of some movement. But as you say, it's still quite aggressive rhetoric.
Mm. And just let's just quickly turn our attention to what happened in markets last week. I mean, last week we saw a little bit of spike up in volatility before calming down again towards the end of the week. Investment sentiment seemed to turn around quite quickly. Why was that?
There was a problem right at the beginning of the week, but to be honest, there still is a problem around concern around the Delta variant, of course, and some areas where we saw infection spiking higher, particularly around this region in Asia. We saw, you know, Vietnam and Thailand see some big spikes. And people are clearly worried about the UK, Europe, the US. But yeah, it lasted about 2 days, and buy on the dip mentality is still super strong. I just think that is right back to what I was describing before, which is the easy liquidity conditions. And we saw the VIX spike up. I guess some people decided to try and get some protection on their portfolios, maybe buy some put options. But again, that has fallen all the way back down again. And Friday, the S&P 500 closed at an all-time high. So all over in a couple of days.
Mm, extraordinary, really, isn't it? Let's just turn to your neck of the woods and China and news. Lots of news coming out of China. Perhaps you'd just tell us, starting off with Evergrande, one of the biggest Chinese property companies. Just talk us through a little bit of what's going on in your area.
Well, I've been mentioning it a few times, haven't I, on this call. We've been discussing the tightening that's been going on in Chinese credit conditions, and particularly if you're a very levered institution, and there's lots of property companies that are highly levered in China with a lot of debt. Evergrande is probably one of the most famous ones. And their bonds have been really slumping over the last, well, over the last few months, but took another dip last week under some aggressive, there was an issue with a bank loan that had to be called in. But there's other stuff going on all the time as well. Over the weekend, you might have seen as well that there was some scrutiny about the Chinese education sector, these sort of out of hours private education companies that you can teach your children for more money. And basically the Chinese authorities said, we don't want these companies making any money. This is a social good. So of course, all these companies are listed and their share prices have collapsed. And it just shows you, doesn't it? We've seen China cutting the reserve rate requirement, which is allowing more liquidity in the system. They were a bit worried that they were tightening too much, and perhaps investors breathed a sigh of relief about that, but they still want to focus on companies and sectors that are perhaps over-levered or ones where they don't believe there should be a profit. So it's, you know, it's give with one hand, take with the other. It's still a bit of a mixed message in China, I think.
Let's look at this week, because we've got on Wednesday, from memory, the FOMC meeting. Now, you've mentioned potential tightening in China. And of course, in this one, whilst it's not expected to be market moving, they may give us some sort of detail on when they're going to taper.
Remember that the last one 6 weeks ago was a bit of a surprise that they said that they would be planning on hiking a couple of times in 2023, which wasn't expected. It was only a mild move, wasn't it? But still, it was a slightly hawkish shift. This time around, we don't think something like that's going to happen, just possibly because I think the Federal Reserve is going to be a little bit concerned, like as we all are, about the Delta variant. You know, why signal tightening when there is that downside risk? But they might signal a small shift towards tapering. We know it's coming at some point. Don't think that they'll announce it officially on Wednesday. They might announce it on September. And they might announce it on September during the September meeting for maybe tapering by the end of the year. That's our base case. And they might signal a move towards that. But I don't think it's going to be anything firm.
Okay, and let's just, before we go on to your number of the week, let's just look at, we've also got, I think, from memory, inflation data, flash inflation data in the Eurozone and in the US. I have to say, and here's where I would like your very expert opinion, Ben, all this talk of supply chains being disrupted, I get, and, prices on goods, real pressure there. But at what point do you think it's going to feed through to wage growth?
The Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the ECB are focused, as you say, on wage growth, because that is how it would start to become ingrained in people's inflation expectations. But the fact of the matter is, there's still an awful lot of unemployed people around. And if you're an employer, you've mentioned bottlenecks, so perhaps it's a bit tricky at the minute to get people back to work in perhaps the hospitality sector, the retail sector. But overall, there's a lot of slack in terms of the unemployed people, and therefore you don't have to pay. You don't have to increase salaries if you don't want to. So from that basis, I think that's why central banks are so comfortable with the inflation headline numbers being high, because they think that they will fall down as employment starts to creep up over the next few months. But the two will cross, I guess, and it'll only be, let's say, this time next year or towards the end of 2022 when the labour market starts to get more. When unemployment falls to such a level, when we start to see wage increases, when they'll start to get a little bit concerned about that inflation. But until then, they can be relatively calm about it.
Okay, fair enough. Now, we always end these podcasts with a number, Ben. So give us your number for this week, if you would, and tell us why.
177 is my number this week. And that's because this week we're going to see 177 S&P 500 companies announcing their earnings for Q2. So that's a huge amount. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. We're going to be covering those names from an analyst perspective, but from a macro, we are very interested on a macro basis. It's going to be hard to work out exactly what's going on, but we're going to get plenty of anecdotal information from these companies about things like bottlenecks, about employment, about future investment plans, who's doing well, who's doing poorly. So yeah, a lot of stuff to read this week.
A lot of stuff. Well, we better leave you to it then, Ben. And we'll talk, I'm sure, next week and sift through some of those results that have happened this week. Ben, as ever, thanks for your time on Market Talk. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, LGIM.com.